At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. This is your first episode of 2023, and if you can't hear the raspiness in my voice, we had ourselves a little bit of a new year and a January 1st.
We had ourselves a time. We really enjoyed the end of 22 and welcome to 23 with open arms and lots of margaritas, etc. We really did it.
Margaritas and all kinds of other drinks. It was fun.
We woke up on January 1st. Jared and I spent the night at Alexis and Matt's new condo because you guys have a guest room. And
finally, that is very, adulting.
Very rare in Los Angeles to have a guest room. And we had obviously partied the night before and woke up in just completely disheveled, very nauseous, feeling like absolute garbage. And Matt handed us an Advil from Mexico or something.
Ibuprofen.
And that plus a few mimosas really saved our lives, I feel like.
I was back on my feet in about 15 minutes.
Then which is crazy. We ended up at Dave and Buster's and we were like doing Dance Dance Revolution. And a few hours later, I was in bed and I was like, how did I jump around this morning? I was truly like,
you guys,
I don't know how we did that.
I think my new calling is Dance Dance Revolution.
I was
bouncing up and down. If you would have told me 4 hours before when I woke up that I would be bouncing doing cardio, I wouldn't have believed you. But I was really feeling my best, and then I was feeling my worst a few hours after that, after the alcohol hangover of the day drinking hit me.
It's a totally pretty insane move to go on like the most hungover day of the year to Dave and Buster's and just jump around for an hour and a half, but I don't know. I had a blast. I know Matt was having fun, too.
So. It was really fun.
Dude, it was so fun. I feel like maybe that should be our tradition. Every January 1st, go to Dave and Buster's.
We should just do it once a month anyway. I love games.
Jared has like $70 left on his gaming card. So
we have a lot of ours, too. We need to go back.
I got all those Buster's bucks.
Buster's bucks, baby. Jared was like trying to get a prize at the end when everybody else had left. And I'm like, we've got to go home.
We perused the prizes, too. Matt had a lot.
Yeah, I only had enough to get like.
Points.
Oh, really? Damn. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you got to step it up.
We'll be back there. We got to get something better than like a balloon. But, anyways, so today is January 5th, first killing time of the year. And on January 5th in 1939, Amelia Earhart was declared dead. I think we all know kind of the basics about Amelia Earhart, but should I give everybody the crash course?
I think you probably should.
Okay, so Amelia Mary Earhart was born on July 24th, 1897. She disappeared July 2nd, 1937, and she was declared dead January 5th, 1939, and she was an American aviation pioneer and a writer. So she was the first American aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, and she set many other records, one of which, wow, you guys, I can't speak today, one of which was the first aviators to promote commercial air travel, and she wrote a bunch of best-selling books about her flying experience, and she was instrumental in the formation of the 99s, an organization for female pilots. So she was really such a trailblazer in aviation when, I mean, back in the day, I can't imagine there was many female pilots
Totally.
At all.
Right.
So what happened is she attempted to become the first woman to complete a circumnavigational flight of the globe in 1937, and she was flying a Purdue-founded Lockheed Model 10E Electra.
Ah, yes.
One of those. And her and her navigator, Fred Noonan, disappeared over the Central Pacific Ocean near Howland Island. They were last seen in Lae, New Guinea on July 2nd, 1937, on the last stop before Howland Island during one of their final legs of the flight. So I guess that they were almost done with the whole thing, and they presumably died in the Pacific during the circumnavigation just 3 weeks prior to her 40th birthday. So Wow. They never found them. They never found the plane. They never found the bodies. There were so many searches done to try to find them. And then 6 months after they disappeared, they were finally declared dead. Wow. So
what a story.
I know. It's such a bummer. You know, it's like she was going to become like this complete trailblazer, first female to fly around the globe, and then
it's dangerous.
That's a tricky thing to do. I mean, especially back then. We were just having a discussion kind of recently about navigating, even driving your car, and like the days of like MapQuest and like not
autopilot.
And even go all the way back to maps, go back to charting your course, having this extended journey. I mean,
and having to do it with like a protractor.
The odds are
in like
against
no
you.
Geometry and physics. Yeah. Can you believe that?
If you get off course and you're flying in the middle of the fucking ocean and all you can see is water in all directions, like how the hell are you supposed to find your way I'm shocked. I'm shocked that anybody did anything over the course of time.
The balls Same. On humans. Back
it's
in the
insane.
Day.
Like
it's
the crazy. Oregon Trail. I mean, I would not have been the person to do that. I would have been like, let me know when you guys found California and I'll be here just awaiting the call.
The second I knew what dysentery was, I would have been like, I'm out.
I can't go on this trip.
No,
I can't do it. I get too cold. It's below 60 degrees. I'm like, I'm a little bit too cold in this moment. So. Yep. So there were all these different theories about their disappearance because obviously they didn't find the bodies. They didn't find the plane. So the first one was the crash and sink theory that they ran out of fuel and they had just sunk into the ocean, never to be found again. There were also theories that they were captured by Japanese forces, perhaps after somehow navigating to somewhere within the Japanese South Seas mandate. And then there are these other theories that she was spying on the Japanese at the request of Franklin D. Roosevelt. And then there was another rumor that she was part of this propaganda and she was making all this propaganda radio broadcasts as one of the many women compelled to serve as Tokyo Rose. And that was a name that was given by Allied troops in the South Pacific during World War II to all female English-speaking radio broadcasters of Japanese propaganda. So there's all these different theories of like what, you know, obviously dark stuff's
going
to come
on.
Yeah. When you have nothing to go through and nothing to go by, they're just like picking up on whatever.
Something. Yeah.
The last theory, and this is what I'm going to get into in True Crime Rewind, was that her death was faked and she was moved to New Jersey and became this other identity of a woman. But we're going to get into that in True Crime Rewind because, Ooh. Of course, I love a conspiracy theory and I love a faked death. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand that we are bitching about or that we're really loving and trying to defend. We have a healthy discussion, bring it to Instagram. You guys talk about it, vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And that is the gist of On the Stand. So I think that I'm going first.
I think that you are.
Okay. So today I am putting on the stand multi-story targets. Now, this only really exists in cities.
What is a multi-city target?
A multi-level target shopping
like a target
center.
A target store. I thought you meant like a shooting target or a bow and arrow.
Oh, no, that sounds very fun, though. That I would be defending. I'm putting this on the stand. They only really exist in cities that obviously don't have the room for a full one level target. Mm-hmm. So I understand why they exist. However, they gave me such bad anxiety that I kind of refuse to go to one, and I will drive the extra 30 minutes to go to a Target that is not a multi-level Target.
Sure.
Because I feel like with Targets, you kind of know where everything is. They're all laid out the same for the most part.
Right. Yeah.
So when you get thrown into a multi-level Target, it really throws your game off. I feel very claustrophobic in one. It reminds me of getting lost in a parking
corn
structure.
Corn maze. Oh, mm-hmm. Parking structure.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, I hate them.
Yeah.
There's something about being boxed in like that. I think that that's a pretty natural like reaction. I will say one of the biggest like adjustments that I made when I moved out to Los Angeles was going from like a whole life of like suburban living and like going in and having a giant parking lot and like a huge Target all on one level where you know where every single thing is. Like I had it down to where I could do all of my grocery shopping in one swoop at a Target. We had like a super Target. Ugh. Food, everything. Ugh. Out here, it's so much more difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's like going to like you're basically parking at like a mall on a multi-level structure. And then you have to find which level the Target's on, which level in the Target that the thing that you need is.
No,
it's a whole challenge.
And I feel like they're always missing things. But again, it's probably because it's in the city. But like, it just it hurts my soul. And I love Target.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I just hate parking structures. Like, I miss the burbs for this reason too. Where it's like I miss being able to pull into any big box store and have like a sprawling lot.
Yes.
And then you get a hit of fresh air before you walk into those automatic doors and take in the splendor of options.
And now we're just like trapped inside. But I don't get it. It's like I would rather walk 5 times farther from a very far parking space in a regular parking lot than I would driving up and down a parking structure and parking right next to the store. Like there's something about it that I just like, I can't get on board with.
Right. Same.
There's too many of us.
There's too many of us. We all need to move to suburbia. So I will say multi-level Targets. If you guys never had to experience one, I'm jealous.
I'll say guilty.
Guilty.
Get rid of them.
Totally.
Get them
out of here.
Out you go.
I can go second.
All right.
We just did our New Year's extravaganza, our NYE bash, and we went to what we thought was going to be like a Western sort of bar. And it turns out it was just the facade of Western, and it was a club. So
it was a Hollywood club. We should have known by the fact that it was literally in Hollywood, but I think that we were all hoping and just,
well, we were looking to line dance. I'm going off track here, but we were looking to line dance and have like a real Western experience. And this was just people dressed like they were at a Western place standing around.
I was told there'd be disco cowboy boots.
I was told there was going to be a mechanical bull, which I didn't see either.
No,
so,
I think that there was no room in this place for a mechanical bull at all. So I don't know if that was just a lie from the start.
Somebody dropped the ball.
We were promised a mechanical bull and they did not deliver.
But anyways, along those lines, on the stand for me today is bottle service.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if you're the type of person who loves to go to a club, I'm not bashing it. Whatever. Go to a club. I don't really like a big boom boom room like that. It's not really my vibe. But within these rooms, you have these little sections for bottle service where you kind of get to like plant your flag in this little corner of a dark club. And then they just bring out liquor and then a mixer that they choose that you just have to use to mix your drinks.
No, you can ask for it. You can ask.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
whatever. No one did. We just took what they gave us.
But then you're kind of making your own drinks. I know some bottle services, like, they'll like pour
they're supposed
stuff
to make
you.
It but yeah. I don't like people around me that I don't know.
No.
So I'm like, I would rather make it, and I like my own proportions.
Yeah,
I just think it's crazy. Like, I guess I never even really went to clubs. I know Alexis used to work
I used to do bottle service.
Oh, there we go. Okay, you're the expert.
So
here,
Alexis is very experienced in it. I never really went to clubs, even like in my early 20s, and I just think it was so wild when we're looking at like the menu. And it was like $750 for a bottle of Casamigos that I know I can buy for $40. Like, I know you're paying more for a drink when you're out, obviously, but that was wild.
I believe it's
typical. This is
this is how it goes. This is bottle service.
It's just shocking as an adult.
But I
think it's shocking. Oh, I know what I'm going to do after Jared's done. It just came to me.
But I just think like, there's a bit of like a status within the club while you're there. That's the whole point of bottle service, is like you're seen at this thing. I think that's why people do that, is to have some sort of like, because it doesn't really enhance the experience that much. I didn't think it was like, because we walked over to the bar and got a couple of drinks and I was like, yeah, it's kind of nice. I can breathe over here.
I prefer
it's
to
like,
be at the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. So I guess you and I, Jacqueline, we definitely like sitting at a bar. So maybe we're just more comfortable like in that room. But
I think we're all just too old. Somehow we accidentally ended up at a club and it was so fucking loud. I was trying to play pizza box game. It was not an appropriate time to do it. I just wanted to like
having to be the one to stop Jack from playing the game was not a fun job.
Lex
either.
Was like, I don't think we could do that in here. First off, we can't hear each other.
I knew we couldn't do it. And
but
I
she
just,
was going to try, gosh darn it.
She started clearing off the entire bottle service like table area and putting like the
putting
ice bucket on the ground.
Like Casamigos on the floor. Can we not?
So I could put like a pizza box that the poor guy that worked there probably found in the trash up on their table.
Jack made the poor guy go get a cardboard box so that we could play the game, and then we never played.
It was nice of him.
That was actually really nice of him, and I told him it was for a game. But anyways, yeah, bottle service, I get the point of it. It's definitely not for me, and definitely not for me and my at 35 years old. So
yeah, I get that. I'll say guilty too. I mean, I did it, but I won't do it again.
But you made some good money doing it.
I did at the time in college for sure, but I'm gonna just tack right on to Jared's and say what I'm putting on the stand is, if you do bottle service, why can't we bring the bottles home with us? Like, we didn't finish. We didn't even put a dent in that tequila.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait. So I didn't buy it. That's just for me to enjoy right here, right now.
Yes. Yeah.
I spent 300 markup for this bottle, and you're keeping it after and doing God knows what with it. Probably marrying it with other bottles and putting it behind the bar, if I know club owners, and that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So I'm like, you know, if I spend an obscene, and it wasn't just me, obviously there was a bunch of us and we split it, so it didn't end up being that expensive for everyone, but we should be able to keep that. We bought that for an inflated amount.
Give me my bottle.
Yeah, give me a little carrying case and let me take it home.
They really should, now that I think about it. That is crazy, because they are definitely using
it again. Yeah, they say they won't. They say they're not, but they are.
Because like, it can't be cleanly. Like, there's no way that that's going to like pass a health exam of you using the grimy bottle that we put all of our sticky fingers on.
What if people like drank out of the bottle? And listen, we're not trying to slander anyone. We don't know for sure that this club did that, but most clubs do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm just too practical for bottle service in general. Too practical for
simple
the whole
man
experience.
Who just wants a beer.
I've just, yeah, I, you know, I would like to keep my bottle, but
yeah,
you know,
I mean, they also, I wanted champagne, and the only bottle of champagne was $700 too. And I'm like, that's only five drinks.
Yeah. That's insane.
Like, that's crazy. You can only have five glasses of champagne if you're lucky for that $700. That's $150 glass
per
of champagne.
Glass. Ridiculous.
We are too practical. We're like really thinking of like the implications of actually doing bottle service. It doesn't make sense.
You can't apply practical thinking to that whole experience. It's
no,
just,
you can't.
You know, and it is nice. Like, it's nice to indulge, and it's nice to splurge sometimes and have a great time. So I'm not knocking that. Every time I do it afterwards, I'm like, why did I do that?
Why did we do this?
No sense. So. It's okay. We're bamboozled. We thought it was a country bar.
I was there for the bowl. I wanted to ride the bowl.
Me too.
Whatever.
We'll get them next time. Year. All right. Well, guilty.
Guilty.
Do we want to hear from one of our firsties?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hello. I just got back from my 6-month cleaning at the dentist, and I wanted to put something on the stand here. When the oral hygienist, is that what they're called? The people who clean your teeth, when they try to make small talk with you while they're cleaning your teeth, I would like to say that it is guilty. They will literally ask you a question that needs an answer while they have these sharp-ass tools in your mouth, scraping your teeth, you got, like, saliva in the back of your throat. There is no way to answer these questions without it being awkward. And then they just always are asking you questions. They're not answering back anything. And it makes you a bad conversationalist, too, because you can't then ask them a question to continue it forward. But anyway, so small talk at the dentist, I'm going to say it's guilty. It's too hard. It's weird. Thanks. Bye.
I'm going to say guilty.
Why do they do that? They know exactly what they're doing. They know that you can't answer and your mouth is hurting. I don't know why they want to
be congenial. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with silence, myself included. And you have no idea, like, the awkward things I've been doing while I've had to do small talk. Like, as a woman, Jack, you know, I mean, we both had, did, like, egg freezing and stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I'm being probed and you're asking me, like, anything.
I do it. You know what? That's so true. I'll do that all the time, especially at the doctor. But I'm the one, like, asking, like, so many questions, just like fill the space with some kind of something.
Nothing is more awkward than this silence.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that 100%, especially like I'm like kind of nervous when I'm in any sort of like, I don't know, whether I'm at the dentist or the doctor or whatever, those rooms just kind of make me a little bit more on edge.
Well, yeah.
And so my small talk is even like my game is just way off in those moments because my brain isn't totally clear. So even trying to have simple small talk, like I just sound like an idiot. And it's so much worse when someone's doing it while they have their fingers in your mouth. Like, it's the weirdest time to be asking me questions. Like,
in your butt would be weirder, but mouth is weird.
Fingers anywhere near me.
Second to worst hole to have a finger in while having small talk.
For sure. It's all bad. It's all bad.
It is all bad.
Next time I'll just put my fingers in my ears and just go la 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 la.
Yeah. Just earmuffs yourself.
So guilty, dude.
So guilty. Thanks for calling in. And everyone else should call in. You're on the stands too.
Again, 818-446-6889. All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some true crime rewind. So Jared and I live in a very small apartment and there's literally not room for any storage whatsoever. And you know what takes up a lot of room that I really just don't need in my life? Laundry detergent. They come in these massive, inconvenient, messy plastic jugs that get all over the place. And not to mention, 91% of those jugs don't get recycled and just end up in landfills. And you know what? I can't stop doing laundry, but I can make the switch to EarthBreeze, and I have recently, and I love it. So EarthBreeze laundry detergent eco sheets look like dryer sheets, but they're not. They dissolve 100% in any wash cycle, hot or cold, and you don't have to measure and you don't have to make any mess. You just toss them in and you're ready to go. So EarthBreeze packaging is compact, biodegradable, and plastic-free, and their eco sheets are vegan, cruelty-free, and dermatologically tested for safe and sensitive skin. I love them so much. I've been using them, and they're so easy to store, and then I don't get all this messy, gross laundry detergent residue everywhere. So if you want to check out EarthBreeze, now is the time, because right now our listeners can subscribe and save 40%. Go to earthbreeze.com/first to get started. That's earthbreeze.com/first for 40% off. Earthbreeze.com/first.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally. First with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes and the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, ooh, fancy, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next next month. That's code DEGREE50 at factorymeals.com/DEGREE50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. TheRealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so I told you that I would get into this conspiracy theory about Amelia Earhart, and one of the things that somebody fucking made up about her death. So in November of 2006, the National Geographic Channel, which is interesting that this is on that channel, aired an episode of Undiscovered History claiming that Amelia Earhart survived the world flight, moved to New Jersey, changed her name, remarried, and became Irene Cragmile Bolum. So this was a real lady that somebody...
Do you think Amelia Earhart would have picked a cooler name than that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
There's nothing Cragmile. Better than Amelia Earhart. Like, that's the coolest name ever.
I know.
And also, like, why would you fake your own death? I don't really... Like, you're one of the most famous women. I guess if she was just over the fame, but...
So, I don't think that happens.
I don't know, man. The cabal makes you do weird things.
That's true. So this claim had originally been raised in a book called Amelia Earhart Lives by author Joe Kloss, based on the research of Major Joseph Gervais. And so who was this Irene Bolum girl? She had been a banker in New York in the 1940s. And this whole time she was denying being Amelia Earhart. How weird would that be if... somebody thought that you were pretending to be somebody else and you just had to keep being like, I fucking swear.
Is it because she looks like her?
So she does kind of look like her. There are a lot of like striking resemblances between the two. And apparently I think that she knew Amelia Earhart and she kind of worked within the aviation world, but she ended up filing a lawsuit requesting $1.5 million. And this was like back in the day. And she submitted a lengthy affidavit in which she rebutted the claim. So she was saying she wasn't her. She made some money after it. So I think that, I mean, not the worst thing that could have happened.
Could have been way worse. Yeah. Could have gotten no money.
How frustrating would that be though? Like it's like the, you have no way to prove that you're not that person.
Especially back in the day.
Yeah, it's pretty... I mean, you're just so stuck, and what do you really do?
It's just bizarre when anyone accuses anyone of anything, and you know you didn't do it. It's so frustrating.
I just also think that it's crazy. Like, how do those rumors get started? Because obviously, the next on my list... Well, I was going through, you know, fake celebrity death theories or whatever, and we've talked about the Avril Lavigne one before, but I put it on here again because I just thought it was so funny. I always think that theory is so hilarious that she was replaced by
Melissa or something.
Melissa Vandella. Yeah. But that was started by a Brazilian Avril Lavigne fan blog that ended up getting all this steam online. But that's because it was online. Like, how do rumors like this start getting spread like in the 1970s? That's what I think is so crazy.
That's a great question. I have no idea.
I feel like the word of mouth thing, like, I feel like those rumors hold so much weight.
Yeah.
There were things from our childhood, like, that kind of spread just word of mouth, and everyone knew about them, and you had no idea how.
Like Marilyn Manson removing a rib so he could suck his own dick.
Yeah, how does everyone know about that?
Or drawing that S. Everyone knew how to draw that S. Remember that whole thing? Like, where did any of that come from? And somehow everybody knew about it without being able to talk to each other on the internet. And so it's like, you can see how this weird hive mind thing can still happen if the story is fantastic enough or it's something ridiculous enough. I feel like, I don't know, it's just memorable and then it just sticks.
Yeah, lies spread all the time.
I know. Do they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So another one of these celebrity kind of like fake deaths that I saw was Steve Jobs. So there's been so many Steve Jobs sightings after he has died. So many people think that he had faked his own death and he moved. There was a sighting in Egypt of this picture that literally looks exactly like him. And then there was one in Rio de Janeiro, like in Brazil, of him in the back of somebody's selfie. And for the one that when he was in Brazil, the guy who it actually was ended up posting online being like, that's me. I'm not Steve Jobs. But the thing with Steve Jobs is I feel like he has one of those faces that kind of like
looks like everyone's.
A lot of people look like him.
The question, yeah, though, was he wearing like a black turtleneck and like basic ass jeans in these photos? Like, because
so the guy in Brazil was this writer that had ALS, and the picture of him was in a wheelchair, but he was wearing, okay, a black turtleneck and he had the glasses on. He had the same haircut, but then of course all these rumors, there were all these people that were posting on Reddit being like, oh, you know, he could have easily, you know, done this and this and that, and
oh my god,
that explains why he's in the wheelchair, whatever. But the guy's like, it's me. I'm alive. I have ALS. That's why I'm in a wheelchair. But thank Wild. You for spreading the rumor about Wild. Steve Jobs.
I'm just saying, like, if one single person knew, wouldn't they sell the story? Like, no one wants to help this billionaire dude hide the fact that he's still alive. Like, I just feel like he would have been outed if it was a real thing. Yeah. I don't believe
how do you
keep
things. Your circle small enough? I agree with you 100%. It's just not possible.
Mm-mm. I don't know. But then you think not about today. Jeffrey Epstein, and I'm like, is there a way that like he got paid off and they faked his death and he's now living on a remote island somewhere? I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think Jeffrey Epstein was like, if I don't kill myself, someone's going to kill me.
I think he's dead as a doornail.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll believe anything. I think he's anything. Dead too. I mean, who knows?
I think the writing was on the wall there. Like, I think it was all fucking over for him.
Well, yeah, it was. Unless he was in cahoots and he's in hiding. I don't know. Crazier things have happened that we
Absolutely.
Don't know about.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with that.
The last one on my list was Elvis. And we've done an episode about Elvis and about how much of a pedophile he was. But there were also theories about his death. And one of them was supposedly that he was abducted by aliens.
Wow.
And this conspiracy theory was made famous by this Ray Stevens song in 1994 that said, I saw Elvis in a UFO, and was supposed to be this kind of like gag song meant to skewer people who believed that Elvis was still alive, but it ended up backfiring. And then it went viral kind of like in the 90s. And it had all these people thinking that he really was taken by aliens because he had spent all of his time. They had helped him with his career on Earth, so now that they took him and back to the motherland.
That
so,
makes perfect sense.
Yep. Fascinating.
Makes
I
all
follow.
The sense.
I follow. There's supposedly an island somewhere. Speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, there's an island somewhere where apparently Tupac is there and Elvis is there. And yeah, we have this just like, I don't know, this hypothetical
is
island.
Is Anna Nicole Smith there?
That would be nice. What a party.
Love her.
I mean, there probably is.
She's like a real life Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes.
Like, I feel like she would be so fun to hang out with.
Oh, I know.
Mm. She's so wacky there. On a reality show.
R.I.P.
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 Or maybe not.
Or
maybe she's on the island with Tupac.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess we'll never know. But I always love a faked death or a replacement theory about celebrities. So send them over our way if you know any that we didn't talk about today. Because
also R.I.P. does apply here because you could just be resting in peace on like an island somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
People are leaving you alone. So it still works.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe what's his name who does the aerobics is there too. Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
I know. Who knows?
He's elusive.
He is elusive.
We have a motley crew on this island.
We
so
sure
far.
I know.
Sounds like fun.
Me too. I want to go.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear about the terrible things that you people have done next.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all to the worsty cabinet of curiosities. We are going to just dig right in and see what horrible things or not so horrible things you are calling to confess to. So let's stand by for number one.
Hi, Jack, Alexis, and Jared. So this is my worst thing. It's not great. It's not great. So sometimes, a lot of times, on the subway in New York City, I will want to sit down and there won't be any seats. So I will pop out my stomach a little bit, place my hands very carefully, and pretend to be pregnant. Because you get a seat if you're pregnant on the subway, and sometimes the girl's tired, okay? It's been a long day, I've got heels on, or maybe not. Maybe I'm just tired, and I need to take a little rest, okay? So one time I pulled this, of course, some gentleman stands up and is like, oh, miss, sit here. Okay, great, cool. I take a little seat, no big deal. Subway fills up. Super, super, super busy. It was rush hour after all. An obviously actual pregnant woman gets onto the subway. And no one's getting up for her. And I can't get up because there's people around me that think I'm pregnant too. So I literally just sat there and watched this actually for real, obviously pregnant woman stand. Because I was too embarrassed to be like, I'm not actually really pregnant. So my fake pregnant ass sat there, and I feel really shitty about it. I feel really bad, and I have not faked, nope, that's a lie. I have faked pregnant since, and I probably will do it again, so little trick.
First of all, there are two things going on here. Number one, the fact that we have to give birth at all, just everyone should be getting up for us, period. With what women deal with, you know, men should pretty much just be getting up. I'm a feminist and all that, apparently, but like, I'm also like, no, we have to work harder and everything's harder for us and we don't make as much money and we have to carry children and then all these things. So first of all women who are pregnant and all women who may be and all women who want to pretend to be should still get the seats over men. A. B. Women are also so badass that they can do almost anything pregnant. Reese Witherspoon shot Cruel Intentions pregnant. Like, so even though you feel bad, this pregnant woman is probably just fine, but she still should get a seat over some dumb guy who was sitting down and not offering it to her. But you, I think, deserve the seat too.
No, literally it's the worst thing that all of these fucking guys that stayed sitting have ever done on that day. Like, dude, they should all have been getting up and offering her the seat. There's no way that everybody else also sitting down was pregnant or elderly or disabled. Like, there's just no way that there wasn't an able-bodied man that was sitting down, not allowing her to sit down. So
especially
fuck
if she
that
was
guy.
Very obviously pregnant, like you say, you know, you had to fake your little pooch by sticking your tummy out. But like, if this one was obviously pregnant and no one offered, well, fuck all them. You were imagining it. It's fine.
Jared,
I don't blame you, Jared.
Well, first off, yeah, let actual pregnant people sit down in a chair. That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like a premature give up my seat kind of person. Like, as soon as I see someone who maybe they're like 3 years older than me, I'll just be like, oh, you need this more. And I'll stay. Like, I'm so quick to get out of my seat and let someone sit.
Yeah, you do.
It. But I just, the imagery of somebody just pretending to be pregnant, I wish so bad that I could do that. I mean, I could do that, but I don't think people would buy it.
No, but I don't think so.
You could pretend to be anything else, though.
Honestly,
and we believe you.
If someone's holding their stomach pregnant or not, something is wrong. Up. I probably don't want to be near you anyway.
Might be a little sickness going on.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't think this is really that big of a deal.
I think you're amazing, and I don't think you did anything bad.
I think it's more of a lesson to all the men that were sitting on the train that didn't get up for the pregnant woman than you.
If anything, totally. You're creative. You're a very creative person.
Exactly. I agree. You know. Are we on to the next?
On to the next.
Alrighty.
Hey, guys. I hope I'm calling the right number, because this is the worst thing I've ever done. So the other day when I was at work, these people had a dead mouse in their house, and they said they couldn't find it under their kitchen sink. So I didn't want to, they wanted me to bleach under there, and I didn't want to, like, get under there at the very beginning of the job because I didn't want to get all mousy and gross. So I waited till the very, very end. They said they thought it crawled in the wall and died and was just stinking up the place. So they're like, I don't think it'll help, but I would feel better if you could just, like, clean with some bleach down there. And I was like, sure, no problem. So I get down there and I find the dead mouse body. And it was starting to disgustingly decompose, and part of its little belly skin was stuck to the floor thing, and it grossed me out so bad. And I got it all cleaned up, and I was driving home, and I was like, this is karma coming to get me after all these years. And let me tell you why. When I was pregnant, at the very end of my pregnancy, I was huge. My friend was like, I'm going to come and clean for you. You make a list of all the things that are bothering you, and I'm going to come clean. And so one of the things was under my kitchen sink. And all I really wanted her to do was just, like, kind of organize, but she took everything out and, like, scrubbed and everything. And she was, like, cleaning this one part. And she's like, I don't know, there's something stuck down there, and I'm scrubbing and I can't get it off. And she was, like, scraping it with her fingernail, and I seriously want to throw up saying this, but my horrible, lazy husband, there was a dead mouse that had died down there, and he never got the body out. So it just, like, rotted, and it was clear in the back of the sink, and my big pregnant butt could not get it. But, like, in the back, to the side, it was a trailer house and was disgusting. But there she scraped this rotten, dead mouse corpse. And I knew what it was. And she didn't wear gloves. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. Something must have, like, got spilled down there. But karma got me. And I think that is the most disgusting, horrible thing I've ever done in my life was let somebody scrape a dead mouse off my floor with their bare fingers. And I do feel bad about it. It was not a victimless crime. Ugh.
Okay. Again, you were pregnant. You can't really apologize for how you were feeling. If you didn't crawl on all fours while you were super pregnant to scrape a mouse body off your own sink, your husband should have done it. But if you knew your friend was scraping it with her fingernails, I mean, at a certain point, if I walked in on that and I'm like, they're already doing it, if I tell them now, they're going to be traumatized. So now I just got to lean in and be like, it must be some just old grime.
Oh, my God. I just love
the old grime,
which is technically not a lie. You know, grime is pretty
ambiguous
big.
Old grime.
I just love that she has two different examples and experiences in her life from a mouse's body getting stuck to the ground and having to scrape it up.
As a girl, I am terrified of dead remains of any animal, whether it's a bug, like a big cockroach body will make me throw up, anything. And I had a dead mouse. Me and Kat at our old place, we had a dead mouse. I saw it on, like, our little balcony thing. And I'm like, I'm not touching it. And I pretended not to see it. And I watched this dead mouse wither away until it was just a puff of fur and, like, a spine with teeth on it. Because I was like, just watching it, because I'm like, I'm not touching this. It's so gross and scary to me.
No.
And it still like remained intact, like it was in a museum by the time it was all just like a skull and a puff of fur. And I was like, women are afraid of dead mouse bodies. We just are. I'm not down with it.
Man checking in, also afraid of dead mouse bodies.
Yes. Absolutely not.
I mean, nobody wants to have to deal with that. Listen, ew, it's in the back of the, it's under the sink, it's in the back corner. Does it smell? Probably. Should you do something about it? Absolutely.
They stop smelling after a while, to be honest.
But if it's indoors, it might be worth trying to dispose of. Outdoors, the natural elements will take care of it.
I also had a dead rat in my garage once, and I told my landlord at the time, and he's like, that rat body's been there for like 2 months. I'm like, yeah, and I haven't used my garage because I'm avoiding it. And like, I'd been parking on the street because I was like, did not want to confront this rat body.
Wow. But your landlord knew about it for 2 months.
And he's this tiny little man, and he picked it up no problem with just his little hands.
Ew.
Oh, no, so no, gross. No.
So
sick.
Gross.
Sick. All right. Well, you're forgiven.
You're forgiven.
Oh, you're very forgiven.
You did nothing wrong.
And you know what? Karmically, you put things back into balance. I mean, cleaned a mouse, too.
You scraped that mouse body off the ground.
I hope you wore gloves and stuff, though. And leash.
You probably did, right? You had to have.
She did. She didn't want to touch the mouse body and dig her nails into it like her friend.
Oh, my God.
And also, what a nice friend offering to clean.
I know.
Yeah, that's a good move. Help out your friends when they need help. If someone's pregnant or grieving, go offer some sort of service for them.
Yeah.
Help them out. Bring them some food, whatever.
I love that. All right, well.
You're a good person.
Happy New Year to all. I don't think, do you have a stanza, Alex, or do we want to just leave with a clip?
I have a stanza, a very short one, and it doesn't really make that much sense. It's just George reflecting back on who he is at the end of the year.
Okay.
I'm ready to
I am George Costanza. If you need me, I'll be out on the veranda. I have the poise and coordination of a giant panda.
Yes.
And my nickname in high school was Can't Stand Ya.
Cute. Short and sweet, baby.
That's Snappy. Right.
All right. See you, friends.
Happy New Year. Everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.